have a specific purpose for speaking to you today. And that is to help us understand from God's Word what you already have inside of you. That Jesus put there when you opened your heart to Jesus. Jesus completely changed your spirits. The Bible talks about it like being born a second time, born again. But most people do not understand what happened to them when they were born again. If you can turn to Luke chapter 4. In verse 18,
Luke chapter 4, verse 18,
Jesus opened the scriptures. He was speaking to people in the temple. And he read about himself and what he was sent to do. So it says in verse 18, Luke 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Luke 4, verse 18,
"Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty and freedom those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Sorry? "And to proclaim the acceptable," verse 19, the acceptable year of the Lord. So, what did Jesus do that? We're going to read it now and look very carefully because that's your job description as a believer. If you turn, just turn the page to chapter 7. And John the Baptist sent people to ask Jesus a question. And if you're going to read from verse 20, it says, chapter 7, verse 20, it says, "When the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" "And that very hour he cured many infirmities, afflictions, cast out evil spirits, and to many blind people he gave their sight." And so Jesus answered these people and said, "Go to John and tell him, the things that you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended in me." This is how Jesus lived, and this is what he did. Now turn with me a few more pages to chapter 14. Jesus said the same things that he did, we will do. Go to Mark 16. We're going to come back here. Go to Mark 16.
Mark 16?
Yes. You see, these are the last words recorded in the Gospel of Mark that we're going to read. And verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to jump to verse 17. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay, it doesn't say maybe they will recover. They will recover. And who can do that? Well, it says in verse 16, he who believes. Verse 17, sorry. These signs will follow those who believe. If you believe, Jesus said there are no impossibilities for you. If you believe, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Because Jesus paid for it already. You see, today I want to talk about just studying and understanding what Jesus did inside of you when you were born again. What he gave to you, just because you are a believer in him. This is not something for special people or... Well, believers are special people. It is for every believer in Christ. And we are learning how to walk in this. Okay, please turn to John chapter 14. We're going to go to verse 12. You see, there needs to be a point when we make a decision. Is God's word true or is it not? Can we trust God at his word? Or only sometimes? Well, the answer is clear. We can trust God's word all the time. All right, let's read this. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is part of our job description as a believer. The Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, many brothers. Who are the brothers? It is every believer who has been adopted into God's family when we open our life to Him. How are we to walk as a son and daughter of God? What does that look like? Jesus said to John's people, "Tell him what you saw." The blind eyes are opened. The sick are healed. The lame walk. In the end of Mark, we read there, Mark 16. Sorry, I'm going to flip back there again. Mark 16. So Jesus spoke this great commission. He said, "Go, tell the good news, preach the gospel." And verse 17, it says, "These signs will follow those who believe." That, you know, what does it mean to follow? That means you go, do what Jesus said to do, go out there and preach the gospel, go out there and tell your neighbors, the people you see, what God has done in your life. And what will happen when you do that? These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, they will recover, all of these things we talked about. Verse 19, it says, "After the Lord spoke these things, he was received up to heaven." And he sat down at the right hand of God. Why is he sitting down? We'll come back to that. Verse 20, it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere." The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, miracles.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus is telling us as a believer to go and do. We are not here just to simply enjoy ourselves. I mean, that's fantastic, we should. But God has a mission for us. Jesus sat down. When he was on the cross, he said, "It's finished. I completed what the Father sent me to do. I gave my life, my blood, my body. I gave my word and I trained my disciples. The Bible says that Jesus is sitting down until his enemies are made a footstool. If Jesus is sitting down, how are his enemies going to be made a footstool? Through his brethren. through the sons and the daughters of God who walk in what Jesus provided for them. When people who don't know God look at a child of God, what are they supposed to see? Well, in 1 John 2, John said, he said that if a person says he lives in Christ, with Christ, let him walk the same way that Jesus walked. Okay, so we may be thinking, okay, that's wonderful. How do I do that? I pray for somebody and they didn't get well. Why, you know? I believe that, but how do I actually do that? Only believe. To give the short answer. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter, that's First Peter. Let's go to Second Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1.
Second Peter, chapter 1.
I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same kind of faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so who's he speaking to? To those who have received the same precious faith in Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What is grace? What is the grace of God? That means that even though we do not deserve it, even though we are not perfect, good enough to deserve it, God does it anyway, to us and through us. By grace we are saved through faith in Jesus. Not because of what we've done, not because I'm so good and I deserve it, but because of the grace of God, the love of God. He gives it to you freely. Okay, so this grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. God's word gives us knowledge of God. God wrote us a letter. He wrote us a letter. Here it is, right in front of us, the Bible. It gives us the knowledge of God, and as we absorb that, the grace and peace of God is multiplied. Very often I walk around here in Diepsloot, and I just love to go and find those who are sick. The other day we went into somebody's place there, Somebody led us to this woman. She was face down on the ground in her, where she lived. She was sweating and obviously very sick. When I'm in a situation like that, I simply remember what God said. You see, Peter, when he saw somebody who was lame, his legs didn't work. And he said, I don't have money to give you, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Peter said, look at us, to get his attention. I could just imagine, he looked in his eyes. He was focused. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Because he knew the love of God. He knew that Jesus Christ gave his life so that this man could be saved and healed and set free. And so we will study that in a minute, the scriptures that show us that Jesus paid for our healing. So Peter looked at him and said, hey, look here. Look at me. What I have, I give you. Rise up and walk. What did Peter have to give? What do you, as a believer, have to give? Did Peter have something that you don't have? No. In Ephesians 1, it says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There is absolutely nothing that God could give you that He didn't already give you through Jesus. The Bible says that with Jesus, won't God give you everything? You have everything Peter had. Because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. If you have been born again, you have God's Spirit living inside of you. How big is your God? Is He big enough to come through you, out of you? He cannot be contained in a small space. He's sticking out all over the place through us. But we must believe. How did you receive Jesus? By faith. You accepted Jesus. You said, I believe in you, Jesus. Even though I don't see you with my physical eyes, I believe in you. That is how faith activates healing as well. Jesus already paid for it. The Bible says that Jesus sent his disciples to preach the gospel and heal the sick. Why? Mark 16 says these signs will follow those who believe. What does a sign do? It points and shows you where to go. When you lay hands on the sick and they recover, it is a sign to those who do not believe in God that God exists, that He is real, and that He loves them. He's not hiding somewhere behind a cloud. He came to earth. He died for your, to set you free and to make you a child of God, a brother of Christ. Jesus is God, we are not, obviously. That's what makes it so miraculous. That God would choose to open His family to us. What would you do for your child? You want to give him everything you can to give him a good life. That he will be successful in life. That's what our Father did for us. With Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus, He gave us everything. Let's continue in 2 Peter, if you're still there. 2 Peter, still in chapter 1, it says, His, verse 3, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that has to do with life and godliness, He gave to us. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So it says, God in His power has given you everything. Everything that has to do with life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. Now this word in the original languages in which the Bible was written, knowledge, it doesn't mean a piece of information in your head only. It means something you experience and live and do. So when we learn about the truth of God, we are meant to do it, to practice it, and then it activates. And that's when we see miracles happen. Okay, so back to the situation I started talking about. So I went to this woman. She was face down on the ground. I just remembered the situation with Peter, what he did. So I just took her by the hand. The beads of sweat dried up. And she was well. And like Peter said, why do you look upon us like we were so special or by our own goodness we did this? It's not us. It's faith in Jesus that caused this man to be well. It is the same thing. When we believe God's word, God can do miracles through our lives. And we begin to walk as His children. We are His children all the time if we have Him. But our life begins to look like Jesus. Okay, verse 4, we're still in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, I just want to talk about verse 3 still. It says, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. This word virtue means character. The trustworthiness of God. In other words, we can trust what God says. He called you by his own glory and his own character. In other words, we can believe God's word and trust that God will do what he said he will do. Because if we cannot trust God and his word, we will have no, our life will not look like Jesus' life. We will not walk in the fullness which Jesus provided for us. So it is our choice to believe or not. When Jesus said, we can speak to a mountain and it will move, he means what he says. Matthew 17. It talks about that mountain. In verse 20, let's see, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, yes. It said, Jesus said to them, I'll just explain what happened before. The disciples tried to cast out this demon. And they were not having success. And then Jesus came and cast it out like that. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? Now I want you to remember something. Jesus never dealt with a Christian. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to people to fill them like he is now. Jesus said it is to our advantage that he goes to heaven, so that he can send the Holy Spirit to us, so that God's Spirit and his fullness can live within us. So at this time, they were not walking in the fullness of what God wanted to give them. But even then, they could believe, and miracles happened. Okay, so Jesus said to them, verse 20, it's because of your unbelief that you couldn't do that. Because truly, I'm telling you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that means the smallest amount of faith that you could possibly have is enough. The mustard seed is the smallest seed. But when it grows up, it becomes a big tree. Okay, but he said, even if you have faith like a mustard seed, just a tiny bit, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. And it was working. But then he started to look around. He started to think, whoa, this is not possible. How am I doing this? So he began to sink. So Jesus had to reach out to Peter and lift him up and save him. And he said, Peter, why did you doubt? You were walking on the water. But then you started to doubt. So the principle here is, what we can learn from this, the issue is not, I don't know if I have enough faith to do that. I don't know if I have enough faith to go and see a sick person, lay my hands on them, and expect them that they will be well. Yes, you do. You have enough faith. Because the same amount of faith that was required to accept Christ in your life and be born again is the same amount of faith you need for miracles to happen. Do you have faith in Christ? Do you trust in Him? That He means what He says. When He promises something, He will do it. Do you believe that? You see, I don't believe in healing. I believe in God, who is the healer. You know, we cannot ask ourselves that question, do I have enough faith? If you are in Christ, you have enough. Because you do not need to have faith in your faith. You need to have faith in God, in His promises, that He said, if you speak to this mountain, it will move. And like Peter, who said, it's not because of my own goodness that this miracle happened. It is faith in the name of Jesus that caused this miracle to happen. So we cannot fast enough to do it. We cannot fast and twist God's arm to do something. It is not by our own goodness that we get this. It is not just something for some special people. The highest rank in the kingdom of God is a believer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at that.
Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians chapter 4. You see, many people have in their minds the idea that they are not very important in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom. But that is not true. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says that He, Jesus Himself, gave some people to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? So they can be some big shot and have everybody look up to them and say, look at me. No. It says here, it's what for? For verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the saints, the believers. For the work of the ministry. For the building up of the body of Christ. So the purpose of pastors, teachers, prophets, all of this stuff is to build you up. It's not to give you something. You have everything through Christ. God created your spirit brand new, and that's why it's called being born again. You, your spirit is perfect and complete in Jesus. There is nothing you can do to make it better. Because your spirit was transformed the moment you opened your heart to Christ. And it is from our spirit that we need to operate. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we were reading over there, we didn't get to the verse, but there was a verse a little bit later that says, do not walk in the futility of your mind. Futility. Don't walk in the weakness of your mind. So, but it says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, there's three parts to us. We have our spirit, which God, when we were born again, created brand new and perfect. And then we have our soul, which consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have our body, of course, flesh, bone, and blood. Three parts to each. So, God created our spirit perfect. The fullness of Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. But our mind, that's what we need to watch. Meaning that in Romans 12, verse 2, it talks about we need to renew our mind. Keep a finger here in Ephesians, we'll come back here. But I just want to jump to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed, do not be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and perfect will of God. So it is through renewing our mind, by renewing our mind, I mean believing God's word, His promises. We need to make the decision in our mind that we will believe what God says, even if our eyes tell us something different. The Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. So there can be a situation, people are crying and saying it's impossible and this and that. We choose in our mind not to live there in that despair. But we choose to believe the Word of God above our circumstance. I was just sitting outside before this morning, before coming in. And it just kind of came to me, that verse in Isaiah 26:3. 26, verse 3. It says, if we focus and set our mind on God, we will have peace. Because the battle is over your mind. If you have Christ, then your spirit belongs to God. The battle is won. But your mind is the battlefield. Because the devil goes around like a roaring lion, the Bible says. Looking for who he can devour. And who is he able to devour? Those who have not set their mind in God. Those who choose not to set their mind in God. When we do not keep our mind in Christ, when we do not keep our mind connected to the promises of God in His Word, in the Bible, then we open ourselves to be devoured by the devil. The devil has no power over a believer. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says we are to walk as Jesus walked. God does not tell us to walk as Jesus walked without giving us the power to do that. Ephesians 1, God blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We have it already in Christ. But we must believe. We must choose to believe. Faith is a decision that you make. It's not standing around and waiting for some emotion or wispy thing to come. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, the Bible says. In 2 Peter 1, it says, we become partakers of the divine nature. Through the promises of God. When we believe what God says here in the Bible, we become like God. We do not become God. He is God, we are not. But we are His children. Jesus is called the Son of Man and the Son of God. Jesus put Himself, God put Himself in a position on earth that He became man. So that we, as men and women, can become sons and daughters of God. There was a divine exchange. Actually, I should say a divine bonding. The Bible says that the purpose and plan of God is to bring all things together in Christ. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I pray that they, the people who believe in Him, His disciples, and everybody who will believe in Him, He prayed that we will be one in Him as He is one in the Father. In Ephesians 5, it talks about marriage. And Paul was talking about marriage and using it as an example of our relationship with Jesus. He talked about how a man and a woman become one. And he said, that is what happens when we as a believer become joined to Christ. We become one with Him. And we do in His name. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because there's no power in the name of Fred or Paul or George or Henry or... I can't go in my name and in my name, nothing. But in the name of Jesus, there are no impossibilities for those who believe. But to believe, we must know it is God's will. So, just speaking about healing for a minute. Sometimes, you know, there's many doctrines in the church today. It may not be God's will to heal right now, or maybe not at all. The Bible says that every person who came to Jesus, Jesus did not turn anybody away. Never once in the Gospels do we see a sick person come to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, it's not God's will to heal you. That does not exist in the Bible. Why? Isaiah 53. Verse 4. It's a prophecy about Jesus. It says, He has borne, taken away our pains. And carried away our sickness and our sorrows. There are some Bibles that translate it a little bit differently, griefs and sorrows. But these words are used in Scripture, and it is very clear from the Scriptures when you study that it is sickness and pains. Jesus took them away. It says in verse 5 that He, Jesus, was wounded because of our sins. At the end of verse 5 it says, By His stripe we are healed. Jesus did something. He paid for something. And the fact that He did that means that we do not have to bear that any longer. Why everywhere Jesus went, He preached the gospel and healed people? Why, when He instructed His disciples to go and preach the gospel, in Luke chapter 9, He said, go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. He said, make the blind see, raise the dead. If you notice throughout the Gospels, it's always, those two things always went together. Preaching the gospel, the good news, and people getting set free and healed and delivered. In Acts 16 it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the same original language word used in James 5. Where it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Because that word salvation It means to be set free. In the original languages, it has that meaning of being set free from anything which is oppressing you. Like there's some big, bad something and it's got its hand on you. To be saved means you are freed from that. Jesus said the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When we see something that looks like it's stealing, killing, or destroying, we know it's not from God. The Bible says there is no darkness in God. God is pure light. The gospel is simple. God is good. God is light. He wants people to be free. And that was the mission of Jesus on earth. In 1 John 3:8, it says why Jesus came to this earth. Why did Jesus come? Think about that for a minute. What would your answer be? What is the good news of the gospel? What did Jesus come to do? In 1 John 3:8 it says, Jesus came for this reason, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When God created Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1, it talks about how he gave them dominion over the earth. It says that God expected them to subdue all of the earth, all of creation. And as a child of God, they were to be in control of all creation. But what happened? They chose to walk in the weakness of their mind, to go their own way instead of believing God's word. God said, the day you eat that fruit from that tree over there, you will die. And that is exactly what happened. Spiritually, that connection between them and God was broken. And they spiritually died. No more connection with God. No more walking in that position of dominion which God ordained them to walk in. And what happens in Jesus? We reconnect with God. We are adopted into His family. And that position of dominion over anything in creation that steals, kills, or destroys is under our feet in Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, to set people free so that they could be reunited with God in a relationship with Him. So we are to do the same. God, Jesus said, He is sending us the same way that He was sent from the Father. The difference is now it's much easier for us than it was for Jesus. Because now the devil has been defeated. Jesus defeated the devil. It's no so when we come in face to face with the devil or some work of the devil, we have power over that in Jesus' name. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven." That is the prayer we should pray. When we walk this earth and we see something that doesn't look like heaven, our job is to destroy that thing. Our job is to set people free from those things. That's the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew 18:18,
it
says, "Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven." Some Bible translations don't translate it like that, but that is the original language. Whatever you bind will have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you set free will have already been set free in heaven. The meaning is this. What that means is this. When we go and set people free in the name of Jesus, whether it's, you know, for example, getting somebody healed, we are not trying to do that. It's already been done through what Jesus did. If we go and we try, Jesus, and you're trying, that's not operating in faith. Faith rests on God's word and his promises and what he has done. Jesus is the one who took away the pains and the sicknesses. In the name of Jesus, people are set free. So faith is not trying to work up our faith. It's a settling down. It's like Peter said, "Look at me. What I have, I give you. The life of God." Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us eternal life. Jesus does not give us abundant life. The scriptures say he gives us life in abundance. That means the life of God, he gives that to us in abundance. The life of God, it contains the power of God, the love of God, the essence of God, the nature of God. We become partakers of God's nature, 2 Peter 1. And we see someone who is sick, we go and say, "In the name of Jesus, be free." Jesus already paid for it. In 2 Peter, in Peter, he said that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. In God's eyes, we are healed. Jesus accomplished his mission. His body was beaten. The original word is not stripes, meaning more than one. It is stripe, one. Because Jesus' body was so beaten, if there would be more than this amount of unbeaten flesh, it would have been stripes, more than one. But his body, the stripes were so many, there was not that much flesh that was not beaten. So it's by his stripe we were healed. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Jesus said, "This is the cup, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." There's two things there. One is the body, his body which was broken. It was broken so that we can be healed. And then he was crucified. So when on the whipping post, by his stripes, we were healed. In God's eyes, it's done. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. And then we go in by faith and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I receive what you paid for. I'm healed." If any of you has any sickness in your bodies, pains in your bodies, something like that, right now where you are sitting, let what is in you in Christ flow out of you and heal you. Release by faith what God has already put inside you. Make the decision to believe the Word of God and just say, "Thank you, Jesus. I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name." Okay, so Jesus' body was broken for us. And then he was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. That's why Jesus said, when they took off the roof where he was speaking, they let down that lame man who could not walk in front of him. They lowered that man onto the ground in front of Jesus. The man could not walk. Jesus saw their faith. And he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Why would Jesus say that? Do you think that guy who couldn't walk was lowered down there because he wanted to hear that his sins were forgiven? Or do you think that maybe he wanted to walk? But Jesus said, "So that you know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," that's why he said that. He said, "What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you? Or rise up and walk?" Jesus always combined those two things because he paid for both of them. He paid for your healing. He paid for your salvation, your spiritual healing. It is a complete salvation, spiritually and in the flesh as well. And when we begin to realize this, that God is not, that we do not need to wait on God. He's waiting on us. We cannot say, "I'm waiting on God to heal me." Reach out and take by faith what Jesus already paid for with his. We're not trying to get something from God. We are beginning to understand what Jesus has done. We are, through the knowledge of God, becoming partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1. Through the promises of God, what He has written here in this Bible, we believe it. We act on it. And as we do it, we become like our Father, like Jesus, our brother. So that's the thing. We can know this, but we must do it. In James 1:22 it says, don't be just a hearer. You hear the word of God, but you don't do it. Because if you just hear it, you deceive yourself, thinking that you are living in the truth just because you have a piece of knowledge in your head. We must do that knowledge which is in our head. Jesus said, the meat, my food, is to do the will of my Father who sent me. That's the difference between the milk and the meat that Paul spoke about in the Bible. He said, those believers who are eating the meat of the word, it says in Hebrews that they have been doing the word of God, and so their senses are exercised. Does that make sense? So it is through doing the word of God that we are eating the meat of His word. If we want our mind renewed to these things, what that means is that our spirit is perfect and complete. God created that. And it wants to come through us. God, through our spirit, wants to reach out, touch, and heal people and set people free. Our job is to believe God's word that says when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover, for example. So our mind opens up. So the Spirit of God inside of us can come through. That's what needs to happen. That we choose not to walk according to what we see with our physical eyes and by our mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says we need to bring every thought captive to Christ. Any thought which does not line up with the Word of God, we're supposed to take it captive. If God said, go lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and then a voice comes and says, oh, but what if it doesn't work? Maybe you're walking to somebody who's sick. Somebody told you about somebody. You're going there. The thought hits you, what if it doesn't work? And so you think, oh, I doubt it. Now it won't work. No, you did not doubt yet. You have a choice to make when that thought comes. When that voice comes and says, what if it doesn't work? You take that thought captive. You say, that does not line up with the Word of God. And you throw it out. And then you proceed in faith. It's like birds. Somebody said you can't keep them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from landing in your hair and building a nest. So many thoughts can come and go. Doesn't matter. We believe the word of God. I will try to wrap things up so I don't keep you all day here. You know, on Mondays, we will be digging deeper into these things. Because my goal is this, that when you get up and you go out these doors, you will begin to walk in what Jesus has provided and that He already gave you. And that your life will begin the same things Jesus has done, you will do. I was in Poland before coming here, and God started giving us dreams about moving back to South Africa. I was speaking in the high schools and universities in Poland, and God started giving dreams. And so we started realizing, okay, God wants us to come back to South Africa. So then we were deciding where. And God gave another dream. And in this dream, I was holding a map of Johannesburg and a specific area was outlined in a bright green. And that's where we are now. And that's why we came here. So as we were preparing to come, God started speaking to my heart. About transforming communities like this with the power of God, that people may see and understand God is real, He's alive, He's doing miraculous things right in front of them. And so people open up to Jesus. I went into this one lady. She was in bed with pain all over her body. Just a few days ago. And she couldn't walk because of the pain. Laid hands on her and she was healed. She began to walk. And she and her family, well, then other people in her family saw that. And so they asked for prayer, and God healed them too for different things. But then each one of them wanted to ask Jesus to be part of their life. Because when God heals somebody, we don't need to try to convince them anymore, usually, that God is real. Or so they all ask Jesus in their life. So as you go, you pray for people. They get well. People become open to God. And they want to usually get to know Him. Okay, so that is what we want to do here. To study God's Word. I'm trying to compress everything and speak just a little bit about a whole well-rounded picture today, but it's just impossible to share it all. So we will be sharing more every Monday at 6:30. And those who come on Mondays at 6:30 to study the Word of God together about this, you'll have the opportunity, if you want to go, we can go together into the community. We go walking around, go find people who are not well, see them healed, lead them to Christ, give them an opportunity for their life to be changed, and you will see God working through you. Because there's one thing I want you to understand. I do not have anything that you do not have. What we have in common is Christ Jesus. The fullness of Him. Trying to wrap up here, I just want to share another scripture. The Bible says that we are His body. The fullness of Him. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. I actually want to read that. It says that... it's so much. You need to study the book of Ephesians, the whole thing. It's full of what God has done in you if you have Jesus. So in chapter 1, Paul prays in verse 17 verse 18, that your eyes and your understanding would be enlightened. That you will understand what is the hope of this calling which you are called with. In verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Okay, and it says, verse 22, it says, He put all things under His feet. And gave Him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. So we, as the body of Jesus, where is Jesus? You are His body. Where is Jesus? Look at your hands. When you put your hands on somebody who is sick, those are the hands of Jesus. Because what God has joined together, let no man divide. We operate in the name of Jesus because we are His bride. That's why we operate in His name. So we are His body, the fullness of Him. So God is waiting on us to take action. And I guess I better stop here. But I don't know if it's okay with Pastor. We can, if anybody would like prayer, even right now where you're sitting, Jesus is there in you and you can be healed by just accepting from Jesus. But if you would like prayer for your body, something's wrong, I will be here and we can lay hands on you and God will set you free. Okay, so if anybody's interested to know more, Monday, 6:30. And invite anybody you know for Friday at 6:30. When we will make that time for praying for those who need healing. Every Monday and every Friday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this audio. If you'd like more information or audio teachings, please visit our website at www.livingavision.org. That's www.livingavision.org. We're always looking for people who want to work together to make a real impact in the world and in the lives of those around them. So if you're someone like that, we'd love to hear from you.